Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And welcome to the Water Cooler, everybody. Thanks for being here. I'm David Brody. Good to be back. We begin with a question that all conservatives are going to eventually have to answer. Will you be boycotting companies that are trying to silence and cancel the conservative viewpoint? Or, as Shakespeare would say, to boycott or not to boycott? That is the question. Now, we know about Major League Baseball pulling the All-Star game out of Georgia because of their opposition to the new voting law on the books in Georgia. And over the weekend, President Trump told his tens of millions of supporters to boycott Major League Baseball, Delta, Coke, etc. Basically, all the companies that have come out against the Georgia law. So, are you going to do it? Give us your thoughts. We want you to email us at thewatercooler@gmail.com. That's thewatercooler at, Gmail? At justthenews.com. thewatercooler@justthenews.com. Also today, Joe Biden and his plan to increase taxes. It's all got me all verklempt. First, I want to give him some credit today. He wasn't stumbling up the stairs, so that's a win. But his administration could be stumbling on something else soon, Biden's new infrastructure bill. I mean, look, sure, it has infrastructure money in there, but it pales into comparison to what else is in there, like $400 billion for long-term care for the elderly and disabled, and something else called the Civilian Climate Corps. It apparently includes the goal of advancing environmental justice. Unions would also get stronger under the bill, and the list goes on. And what does any of that, by the way, have to do with infrastructure? They should really title this upcoming bill the all-you-can-eat-and-spend buffet bill. And later today, just when you thought it couldn't get any goofier, along comes evergreen trees. Apparently, they are now controversial. A school in Portland, Oregon, debating whether their mascot should be an evergreen tree. Wait until you hear the reason why it is so controversial. But first to that new voting law in Georgia that is causing so much controversy. Liberals say it's voter suppression. Conservatives say, have you read the bill? Let's bring in Roland Martin now, host and managing editor of Roland Martin Unfiltered. Roland, great to see you as always.
Likewise.
So, Roland, we here at the Water Cooler, you know, we bring on liberals, conservatives. We think conversation's important. So go ahead. You have the floor. Lay out the case as to why this law in Georgia is voter suppression. I'm assuming you believe it's a racist law, right?
Well, here's the deal. The entire law is based upon a fraudulent lie. That's what it first is based on, okay? Georgia had his highest turnout in a very long time in 2020. So why exactly would you then make massive changes because you're upset? Let's just be real clear, okay? Put it on the table. Conservatives can't disagree with this. They're mad because they lost. They're mad because Biden Harris won Georgia and Ossoff and Warnock won the two Senate seats. That's why they're upset. That's why the law was changed. Now, it drastically cuts the number of drop boxes, okay? Governor Brian Kemp voted via drop box, all right? The drop boxes also have to now be inside of the polling place, and the drop boxes are only available 9 to 5. That makes no sense. What's the point of the drop box if you can't access it before you go to work or after you go to work? That's one. We know, of course, the whole deal about food and water while you're in line as well. But this is the most basic fundamental question that conservatives have to ask themselves. If Trump won Georgia, and if Republicans had won the two U.S. Senate seats, would there be a new bill? The answer is no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, I'm not gonna argue that point with you at all. In other words, I believe that if Trump won Georgia, this wouldn't be an issue today. I'm not going to disagree with you.
So why is it an issue?
Well, hang on. I'm not going to disagree with you. However, here's the second part of that sentence. However, The reality is that if there were voting irregularities, which folks down in Georgia do believe that happened on the ground, they want those corrected. And now we're into a question
about
Let me just finish. So therefore, we're into a question about voter fraud and protecting the election integrity. So there are two separate issues here. I know you want to connect the two. I get it. But you still got to go with what was passed regarding the law. And the truth of the matter is there is a voter integrity issue in this country that cannot be disputed. Here's
the deal. Where's the proof? Republicans in Georgia can offer you no proof of what you just said. The operative word, what you just used, was if. You said if there was voter fraud.
No, I didn't say that.
Show me. Where's the proof?
I didn't say that. No, there's folks in Georgia that believe that signature verification.
Who's folks?
There were problems with signature verification. There were problems with dead people voting. There were problems with ID, the whole thing. All that they believe took place. And so that's that.
Dave, let's start right here. Yeah. Who's they?
Well, they being election officials, clearly.
No, which election officials?
No, hold on. I'm not talking about Secretary of State. I'm not talking about Brad Raffensperger.
No, but here's the deal. Wait a minute. See, this is where I'm confused.
There were local poll watchers and others that believe that.
David, if the Secretary of State and his team, if their entire job is to protect the sanctity of the ballot, don't you think they would have some evidence? No, what you have is our people. We dealt with people who were lying, who presented no proof.
No,
they
that's not Roland.
Anything.
Roland,
David, where's the proof?
Hold on for a second. That's a separate discussion about whether or not a judge would take the case and hear certain. That was never presented in a court of law. It was never presented in a court of law. It never got there, Roland.
Okay,
it never got there.
Okay, David, were there any legislative? Okay, hold up. Were there any legislative hearings in Georgia where individuals were brought forth and they offered testimony before this bill was passed? No. It was a two-page bill. It was a two-page bill that went to a 100-page bill.
But you're not getting to the substance. Roland, hold on.
But you're David,
not getting to-
David.
Wait, hold on. But
David,
let me just get to the point. You're not getting to the substance of the bill.
If you have evidence of fraud, prove it.
Roland, you're not getting to the substance of the bill. What is the problem with the bill? The bill actually expands voter access.
This is
a good thing.
No,
sure it does.
No, it
absolutely
doesn't.
It does.
No,
it does.
First of all, it does not expand voter access.
It does.
It's limited. Here's the deal. First of all,
it
alters voting hours. First of all, it alters voting hours. There are some counties in Georgia that have
none of
David. Yeah, David, there are some counties in Georgia that had early voting 7 to 7. Mm-hmm. This actually makes it 9 to 5. As I told you already, the drop boxes cannot be outside. They must be inside the polling location. Mm-hmm. The drop boxes you can only access 9 to 5, not anytime you want it. Thirdly, David, if you voted absentee in Georgia and your son or daughter or your parents or your uncle voted absentee, the law prohibits you from actually dropping their absentee ballot off.
You're not.
You can't even drop
okay,
it off.
Okay, I've given you a chance to say a few things on this, but let's also understand that there's nothing
all
wrong.
All that's in the bill.
Hold on for a second. There's nothing wrong with providing voter ID because they're going to give free IDs to people that, hold
no,
on,
no, no, no,
the
no,
state
no,
is
no,
going to
no,
give free
Dave,
IDs to
Dave,
people that, hey, you got to let me speak. You got to let me speak, Roland. Because I let you speak. The free IDs to people that don't have one, they're going to even let you have a utility bill to prove your residence. I mean, they're making it easier. They're making it
no, they're
easier.
Not.
Yeah, well, sure they are. And then the other thing is, too, look, hold on. The voter rolls. Why do we not want the voter rolls cleaned up in America? There are 24 million people on these voter rolls that we have no idea that they're either wrong or there's a problem with that. Why are Democrats, you don't want to be called Democrat, why are liberals fighting that? That's my question. Why are liberals, what are they
David,
so concerned about?
David, did you forget where Georgia was guilty of illegally removing upwards of 300,000 people from the rolls? Do you forget that? Do you forget when Greg Palast was traveling with a 90-plus-year-old black woman who had been removed from the polls? She hadn't moved in 50 years. Do you forget that? Literally, the Secretary of State's office in Georgia had to agree to a settlement because not only that, they also used a company that was not authorized by the United States Postal Service.
Do you believe this is Jim?
These are facts.
Hold on. Do you believe this is Jim Crow 2.0, as Biden says?
I fundamentally believe that the Republican Party, by their tactics dealing with voter suppression in Georgia and across the country are absolutely acting Jim Crow 2.0. And 9 years ago, Congressman Debbie Wasserman Schultz was on my TV One show, and she used the same remark, Republicans lost their minds. Here's the deal. In North Carolina, David, I've seen this playbook before. In 2008, Obama wins North Carolina by 14,100 votes. What did the Republicans do in North Carolina? Change the voting laws to make it harder.
But
what
they specifically
targeted black voters, and the court ruled. Federal courts ruled that Republicans in North Carolina have a quote laser-like focus on black voters. They ruled it unconstitutional.
Listen,
Republicans
I got it.
Facts.
But listen, but the problem here, and I've only got 30 seconds, I'm going to run out of time. The problem is here, Roland, is that liberals never want to address the election integrity issue, and there are integrity issues.
There are integrity issues, Roland. David, Donald Trump had an entire panel.
Roland, here's the thing.
David.
But stop with the, I got 20 seconds.
David, fact or fiction, did Donald Trump have an election integrity commission?
There was a 2005 election integrity commission that said absentee ballot was a major problem in this country. I got to run. Roland, hold on. Where's Roland? Let's see him. I just wonder, you're there. Don't worry. I got 3 seconds. We got to talk. I'll talk offline. See you.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. That Georgia election law, Georgia voting law, making so many headlines, generating so much controversy. We just talked about it with Roland Martin in the first segment of our show. And now let's get some of the political impact of that. Joining me now, ABC News political director Rick Klein, back on the Water Cooler. Rick, always great to see you, sir.
Great to see you too, David.
Chris Christie saying on ABC This Week, Sunday, concerned that Biden, I shouldn't say concerned, he basically said Biden was lying about this this bill. I know Biden's taken a lot of hits, even from the Washington Post on the four Pinocchio scale. What's your sense of what's going on politically with Biden and this administration? Because they're trying to clearly paint this law a certain way.
Yeah, and Biden has called it Jim Crow 2.0, and he's clearly gotten some facts wrong, misstated some basic facts around this law. That doesn't minimize the potential impact. I think there's a lot that goes on in this bill. Some of it would expand voting rights. Other things would limit voting rights and voting access in Georgia. So whatever you make of the comparisons to other states or the process by which it was passed, I think that the genesis of the law, which was born in the mistruths, the lies that President Trump and his supporters told about the last election, that sparked the conversation. And I think for some Democrats, clearly there wasn't going to be anything that met their test and would have been an acceptable law. And I think, as Governor Christie said, Joe Biden has got some of the details of Georgia wrong. But of course, you've seen a huge impact throughout the political and corporate spectrums, both in reaction to this law.
Rick, not to get into a media question here, but I am a little concerned, and I'm curious to get your take. In all the media reports, I always hear about how this is the way the media is describing it as this Georgia law, like restricting voter rights or voter suppression. But normally they say restricting voter rights. That seems to be a Democrat talking point. I'm not suggesting that media are taking their cues from Democrats, but I'm concerned about that language, because Republicans would say it's about protecting election integrity. It's about making sure voter fraud is not taking place on a wider scale. But the media seems to go with the restricting voter rights, which seems to be along the same lines of what Democrats are saying as well. And that concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, I think the debate is hard to have in nuance because of the way that it was created. And the fact that this is Georgia that we're talking about, not a mistake that this is the state that President Biden won, and then two Democratic senators won. And then that's when Republicans came in introducing this new legislation. And I think there are good debates to be had. You saw Kentucky recently enact bipartisan voting reforms. I think you've seen reforms enacted in other states, including New Jersey, Virginia recently, a Republican-led effort in Iowa. I think this conversation, though, has been sparked by the false allegations that were put forward by President Trump and many of his supporters. So that's the baseline that I think a lot of folks looking at this start at. And this would this be happening if not for President Trump's false claims? It's hard to argue that we'd have the same scrutiny over all of these processes.
You know, I would push back and we could have a larger conversation. I didn't bring you on to talk about Trump's false claims or all of that, but that's an issue now in this censorship area that we're in here, because if you say any of that stuff that Trump said is true or believe that, then you've got a target on your back if you say that as a conservative today.
Well, it's not true. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I think if you talk, was the election stolen? It wasn't. That's a statement of fact. And however people want to get targeted as a result of it, that's if that's what you're referring to. I mean, that's debunked. It just wasn't the case.
Well, it's of course his opinion, and not only his opinion, but we can talk about this another. I brought you on to talk about some other stuff, but I will say this: that indeed a judge never got to hear a lot of this evidence in different areas of the country, and there's clearly some evidence out there that people have concerns about, and that just seems to be blown off entirely.
Yeah, I mean, look, the election's over. President
Trump
lost.
Right, I don't want to litigate it again.
I don't see that there's a lot of sense going in that. My point is that. The debunked claims of the president and his supporters were used as inspiration for a lot of these discussions. And I think that's made a political climate where it's very difficult to get any kind of cooperation.
Yeah. Let me ask about the Biden infrastructure bill coming up. What do you make of it, the political potholes ahead? Because it seems to me, and you tell me what you think here, is this going to be 2.0 on budget reconciliation, or at least this idea that they're going to, if it's not going to be budget reconciliation, they're at least going to go it alone and just push it through somehow, some way, with no Republican support.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic because this is a president that came in with the promise of unity and bipartisanship, and it may be partisanship, not bipartisanship, that's the way that he's able to muscle through infrastructure and really anything else. And yes, the effort will be made to try to make this part of a budget reconciliation process, which is allows you to get something done with this US 50 votes in the Senate. Short of that, I am not seeing anything that's going to bring Republicans to the table. Biden again talked about it today, and he says a lot of these ideas have Republican support, but in terms of Republican lawmakers who are ready to sign on, it's not there. So the fact is, COVID was difficult enough to pass just with Democrats. He's going to have his work cut out for him with a larger price tag around a broadly defined infrastructure program that isn't just roads and bridges and traditional infrastructure, and of course, tax increases. I don't see Republicans going along, so it's going to have to be Democrats who stick together on this, or I don't think this part of the Biden agenda is going to happen.
Rick, I see this as a pattern now. I remember those 10 Republican senators in on the stimulus bill, and they were looking for a smaller deal, and a smaller deal on bipartisanship was there to have, and he didn't do it. They went budget reconciliation, and here we are again. So what happened to unity from a political standpoint? I mean, what happened to all that?
So there's a twist on it. According to the Biden White House, they'll say that the bills already are bipartisan because they have grassroots support or polling support for ideas like infrastructure reform and even taxes on wealthier Americans. Mm-hmm. That's not how it's traditionally been defined.
Clearly, right.
Having Republican votes is what you talk about in terms of a bipartisan piece of legislation. But I think that there's a something I think has been forecast by this White House is that they're not going to wait around for Republicans. There's a broad sense that among many Democrats, that Barack Obama spent a lot of time in his first term trying to work with Republicans to get them to go along with ideas around health care, say, or around cap and trade and environmental issues, and was essentially left at the altar. And Biden doesn't plan to wait around to cut those deals that may or may not be there.
Yeah, potentially a reincarnated FDR, potentially, is what feels like. I don't know.
It's big. I mean, look, these numbers are huge. And I think some of the expansions that you're talking about, it's a redefinition of what government can and would do under a Biden presidency.
Right. Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Always great to have you. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, David.
All right. Rick Klein coming complete with the bookcase, by the way. And let me just be very clear. Rick does not need the books behind him. He's super smart. Me, on the other hand, folks, if we could get a bookcase behind me, that would help me immensely because then people would think I actually read for a living, and I don't. I've got a couple of pop-up books at home, scratch and sniff, and that's about it. All right, when we come back, I have no idea who's on the show. No, I really do. Who's on the show next?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. We've been talking a lot about that Georgia election law, the voting law, and Donald Trump calling for, you know Donald Trump, he doesn't say just boycott Delta. He's like, boycott Delta, boycott Major League Baseball, boycott Coca-Cola, boycott Jim Acosta, boycott everybody in the world, and sue them for all they're worth. Anyhow, that's what he wants out of MAGA Nation. We'll see if they deliver, because the bottom line is, the almighty dollar speaks wonders to these corporations. Joining me now, Jordan Seculo, Executive Director of the ACLJ. Jordan, always great to have you back on the show, sir.
Thanks, David.
Well, look, I got to tell you, and this is a personal aside here on the Water Cooler, I was a big Major League Baseball fan back in the 90s and in the 80s. My Mets, 86 Mets, got to love them. Bill Buckner, sorry about that, went through the legs. Look, bottom line is this. When they did the 94 strike over that, Donald Fair and the money, I had issues and I kind of checked out. And now, if I wasn't fully checked out, I'm definitely checked out, because this is insane what Major League Baseball is doing here. Jordan, your take.
Yeah, politicizing sports is the worst to me, David. Horrible. And it's also when you have it's a city of Atlanta, and I grew up in Atlanta and grew up in the state of Georgia. But Atlanta itself is you know, the driving factor of the state. It's the largest city in the state. And I think that for most people, if you know Georgia, you would say, well, Atlanta is very different than the rest of the state. And it is. And that's not a bad thing. But it's also ridiculous then to punish Atlanta and its surrounding counties for what a state legislature did that you don't like as politicians, and then get corporate America. It's such an interesting shift, because I think so many liberals and so many people out there too, a lot of voters, think that corporate America and the Republican Party are just, you know, in bed together on everything. And that is not the truth. Big corporate America is actually in bed with the left, and they're very much into this woke culture. They've totally accepted it as part of their way of operation. But the big question, I think Senator Rubio put it best to the MLB commissioner, Major League Baseball commissioner. He said, well, are you going to give up your membership at Augusta National? And what happens there? Is it the Masters that's going to be gone next time? They didn't have time for that. But are they going to move the Masters out of the state of Georgia? That's a little more difficult than a baseball game. Or they just cancel it altogether because it happens to be in a state which, by the way, still has – is more open and has more access to early voting than the state of New York. And for Joe Biden to go and say, well, 40 other states are doing what Georgia did, I wish that was the case. But Joe Biden, of course, was absolutely wrong on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous, Jordan. And I got to tell you, the question is, where does this end? You know, like you're saying, I mean, I don't know where this is going. But you mentioned here, you said a corporate America is in bed with the left. And so my question is, why? Is this a political correctness thing? Do they think they have to be like granola crunchy and just like everybody has to hug a tree? I mean, what is this? I mean, because the numbers are on the other side. I mean, this is a center right country. There are a lot more conservatives in this country, if you combine them with independents, than leftist liberals.
Well, I think that they are looking globally. And who looks globally? That's the left. So who will look past their business deals with China and other dictatorships that are abusing human rights? The left, because they're doing business with those same countries. That's why we don't see the criticism of China the same way we saw under the Trump administration. We don't see the we saw the quiet acknowledgement of the genocide going on. Now, isn't that bizarre? A quiet acknowledgement of genocide with China instead of world outrage that we should be building as a nation, as currently the world's leader. But I think it goes too that every one of these companies we're talking about that supports this boycott, they don't care about the workers in Georgia that are going to be affected by this. They care about their big contracts. And in the Major League Baseball's case, their exemption from antitrust laws. They're considered a sport, not a business, which is interesting in and of itself. And they're all doing business with China. So they're not concerned about this is all bogus, this concern for rights, this concern for what happens in Georgia voting and absentee voting and getting free IDs out to anybody who requests one. this is not what it's about. It's about wherever the wind blows. And unfortunately, these corporations, David, are blowing very quickly with the left-wing mob.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I could talk about this all day. I want to get on to this Biden infrastructure bill. Now, let me get this straight. I've read through some of what's in this bill, apparently, or this potential bill. It's like 5 or 10%, roughly, for infrastructure spending. The rest of it is just like, what, $400 million to take care of the elderly? Hey, I want to take care of the elderly. Don't get me wrong. I don't want people's taxpayer money going to taking care of the elderly beyond the social safety net. But this is insane, Jordan, what's going on here specifically. Why don't you help us break this down as to the concerns inside this bill?
Yeah. So you've got elements of the Green New Deal. Are much bigger than the actual elements, like you said. This is another false leader, because you're thinking about, when you hear infrastructure, rightfully you think roads, bridges, railroads, airports, basics, you know, the hospital improvements, public service improvements that we all utilize, that we all know need to constantly be improved so that our country continues to grow and prosper. Wonderful. But like you said, that's 5 to 10% of this. The rest of this is what Jen Psaki called a social infrastructure. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
But I can start figuring it out based on the bill. It's these handouts to various different interest groups, and again, trying to push things that have nothing to do with actual infrastructure into another huge spending bill. Instead of getting bipartisan support for redoing our roads and redoing our bridges and redoing our airports, we're going to be left with yet another more partisan warfare on an issue which should be simple. But of course, it's not, because it has nothing to do, or very little to do, with actual infrastructure.
Right. So basically, when they talk about infrastructure, they're not only talking about bridges and tunnels. They're talking about literally remaking the infrastructure of America from their liberal progressive philosophy.
Right. So it's about, you know, going through buildings and saying, well, you need this much more. Yeah, your heat works, but you need a more efficient heater. And so that's part of the Green New Deal. You need more efficient these windows and these solar panels and this wind farm and all that combined together. It is not traditional infrastructure. And if they were honest with the American people, people would be outright rejecting this. It's a job killer. It's not a job grower. They talk about all the jobs will be created through redoing the roads. Not if only 5% of this multi-trillion dollar bill, is about redoing roads. Mm-hmm. It's about, again, handing out to special interest on the left. And it is really, ultimately, the Green New Deal in another day.
Yeah. Jordan Sekulow, really appreciate your time. ACLJ Executive Director. Thanks, Jordan.
Thanks, David.
All right. He's absolutely right. And by the way, here's my big issue. Joe Biden talked about unity. He talked about coming together. There'll be things we agree on, things we disagree. Hey, you know what Republicans and Democrats actually agree on? That the infrastructure in this country needs to be updated. Okay, great. So take that 5 to 10% of the bill. I don't know. What do you call it? About $200 million? Billion, excuse me. I get my millions and billions confused. Anyhow, do that and do a deal. I ain't going to do that. Back in a moment.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. A big tech censorship. We cover it extensively here on the Water Cooler, that and cancel culture. It is with us every single day, especially for conservatives. As a matter of fact, predominantly for conservatives. I'm sorry, let me take that back. Exclusively for conservatives. At least that's the way it is now. And one guy in the middle of all of this is Jeff Brain, who joins us now. He's the CEO and founder of CloudHub. Jeff, always good to see you, and glad you're back on the program.
David, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So Jeff, look, you've been a victim, if you will, of big tech censorship with your platform in terms of IBM and deplatforming you. What's the latest? You've been able to kind of come back now in terms of working it out. But what's happened to you guys specifically at CloudHub and the concern you have?
Well, you're right. After the November 3rd election, IBM, which hosted our video channels, took all our channels down. We had 57 channels at the time, and they took them all down. In a false swoop, you know, at least YouTube gives you advance notice or a warning. They didn't even do any of that. They just took us all down, all our channels down. Now they put up a bunch, you know, back, but left about 14 off, mostly those that were critical of the election. It's unfortunate, you know, in this country, we're supposed to be able to have an opinion, and these channels were talking about their opinion. But what we decided to do is to create our own channel hosting system, and that's what we did. And now all channels are back up, and in fact, we're growing with many more channels having come to us now. But free speech is very important, and we believe in free speech, and that's a principle about why we exist, is to ensure that people have freedom of thought and expression.
Jeff, take us through the backstory of Laura Trump and what happened to her the other day. And she came over to CloudHub, started her own channel over there because that interview she did with President Trump, POTUS 45, if you will, was not allowed to air, if you will, on Facebook. What happened there and what's been the reaction since?
You're right. Facebook decided that the voice of former President Trump is not allowed on Facebook, nor his surrogates. And remarkably, when Laura put her video, her interview, really one of the first interviews since the election, up on Facebook, they immediately took it down off of Facebook and Instagram. Just more cancel culture, more censorship. You know, the people have a right to hear what he has to say. I find it stunning what Facebook is doing. But we reached out to Laura Trump and invited her to have a channel on CloudHub, and she took us up on that, and she has a channel now. The reaction's been very positive, and we invite anybody that feels they're being censored on the other platforms to come and enjoy a channel on CloudHub where they can speak freely. They don't have to feel measured in what they're talking about and can reach their audience. The president has an audience, you know, at least half the country voted for him, and people want to hear what he has to say. And then let the people decide. Let them hear all sides of issues and let them decide. Big tech should not be deciding what we get to hear or whose voices we hear.
Jeff, President Trump eventually will get back on his social media. We understand something's in the works. So what can you tell us? Maybe not necessarily what you're, maybe you can tell us what you're hearing, but how does that affect the landscape as it relates to what you guys do and the social media landscape out there?
Well, we do understand the president is looking at different options. There are a number of different platforms out there that he can go with, or he can try and create his own. We think his voice is important to have back out there and people being able to hear what he has to say. I happen to think that CloudHub is the right platform for him because we are a platform where people can do. On most platforms, you just post and then look at how many likes and follows you get. But on CloudHub, it's designed for people to be able to take action, for people to be able to organize and mobilize. And so for him, it's the perfect platform for him. He could mobilize his base to behind this candidate or this issue or this policy. And that's where we're at. You know, there's a lot of challenges facing society in our country today. It's not enough to just be posting in exchange for likes. We talk about free speech. Use free speech to make a difference. And we would invite the president to come to CloudHub.
Has that pitch been made to the president, to his team?
You know, I'm not at liberty to talk about any of the discussions that we're having, but there have been discussions, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Let me ask you a little bit about President Trump overall. Do you believe big tech, therefore, is trying to cancel President Trump?
It certainly appears that way, right? I mean, when you think about it, I mean, if this ever happened to any other former president, it would be outrageous. But to have a person who is president of the United States have his voice removed from all social media is just unbelievable. I mean, if it happened to you, mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. But if it happened to me, it's unbelievable. It's unacceptable to happen to anybody that they just decide your voice cannot be heard on social media. Again, this is not him having his own account on Facebook. This is anybody playing video of his voice right. on Facebook. They're taking it down. And I just feel that's going too far. And everybody, whether you're on the left or on the right, should be concerned about this cancel culture because it's coming for you next.
Well, you kind of teed me up to my last question here, which is, what is the future here? If you can look into the Jeff Brain crystal ball as to where this is going, my sense of it is it's going to get far worse before it gets any better.
Well, we've certainly seen it get worse since the election, right? It's gotten much worse. It's gotten much fiercer. I think the answer is what you're seeing out of Florida and what you're seeing out of Texas, which is states taking positions to stop the censorship. If you're censoring people based on politics, there are ramifications, and that should be the case. We should be able to have different political views. That's what this country is based on, that freedom. It's written in our Constitution, and big tech should not be able to silence our voices. That's why I invite everybody to come to Cloud Hub, where you can speak freely and take action and make a difference.
I'm assuming you're not putting too much stock in the Biden administration doing anything on Section 230 or otherwise here.
Well, I would hope that they would. They should. I don't know that they will, though. I mean, I think you're right. I think that many people question whether they have the intention to really solve this problem or not.
Yeah. Jeff Brain, always good to see you, sir. Thanks. Thanks for the time.
David, thank you for having me.
All right. Jeff Brain, who's been on the show quite a few times talking about big tech censorship. And I can tell you right now, we are going to hammer this issue every day, probably multiple times a day. It is going to be one of the key issues that you will find here at the Water Cooler. You will find big tech censorship. You will find cancel culture. Those will be two key issues going forward. Yes, we'll cover politics. Yes, we'll cover the culture wars. And by the way, on the culture wars, let me just say, everybody talked to me for like 20, 25 years saying, oh, the culture wars, they're going to go away. They're never going away, folks. We're in the middle of a culture war right now, and a really bad one at that. We're back in a moment with the last sip here on the Water Cooler.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. Time for a Monday last sip. Monday last sips are a little bit spicier. Not really. Let's put this story up on the big board, shall we? Look at that, the New York Post. Are you kidding me? Not that I didn't. I have already seen this. It's like I'm reacting to it. I know the story. Portland school delays Evergreen's mascot vote over fears it has ties or it's tied to lynching. I kid you not. This is a Portland high school. They are delaying a vote to possibly change the mascot's symbol to an evergreen tree. It's just evergreen. It's an evergreen tree, but apparently there are concerns about its potential tie to lynching. The name of the school is the Ida B. Wells Barnett School or High School, and it's named after a prominent black activist who documented lynching. And so anyhow, the school was set to vote on this mascot last Tuesday, but a board director shared some concerns from the community about this. And well, the rest is history. I guess they're concerned apparently that their mascot would be a tree. Their mascot would be a tree, which apparently has to do clearly with lynching, because yes, I get it, lynching and trees do go together, but an evergreen tree, anyhow, if you read the article, it goes on to say that actually evergreen trees were not used for lynching back in the day, though apparently there's some discussion about that. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen, evergreen trees are now being canceled and being whatever you want to call it. I mean, this is the world that we live in today, but let's understand something, and we said it on the show before, but I want to be very clear about it. Someone's values are going to reign supreme, and there is a fight in this country between liberals and conservatives. I don't need to tell you that. You know that. But there's something much bigger going on. It's a battle, if you will, to find out whose values are going to win in the end. And that's what this is all about. So if you go back to the Georgia election law, the voting law, you see it playing out very well. You've got corporations like Delta and Coca-Cola and Major League Baseball lining up on one side, and you have others, Georgia politicians, conservative ones, lining up on the other. The question, and this is the key, and there's something we talked about at the top of the show, it has to do with boycott and money, because guess what? The almighty dollar wins in the end. Now, we know values and the dollar aren't necessarily tied together, because values need to stand alone as a moral imperative. But the truth of the matter is, companies like Delta and Coca-Cola and all of them, they'll listen if the money starts to fall, and that's where boycotts come in. Back in a moment.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. This has been an interesting show. I've broken a sweat. Roland Martin on the show. I know. Go ahead. Send me the emails. TheWaterCooler@JustTheNews.com. I know. Why is he on the show? Because, guess what? We're not Jack Dorsey. We actually let people speak. All right. Speaking about letting people speak, look who's on the show. Anna Perez. Anna, great to see you again.
Great to see you.
I like how we always get the formalities out of the way.
Yeah.
At the beginning, it's just like, great to see you. I love it. All right. So what do you have today? Because, you know, I'll be honest with you. I have no idea. I think I kind of know, but I really don't know. I'm just being honest. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it has sort of something to do with the Georgia election laws that were just passed, because the MLB actually just moved their playoff game and their draft from Atlanta, Georgia, because they said that the Georgia laws don't align with their values as the MLB, which is interesting because we also found out that they're still streaming their playoff games on the Chinese streaming platform Tencent Video. So, of course, they're receiving a lot of backlash, not only from conservatives, but a lot of Americans in general are just not happy with the fact that you can come out with a statement that says, you know, this doesn't align with our values, hosting this in Atlanta, Georgia, but yet you're okay with holding it in a communist country that is very genocidal. Mm-hmm. So that's been an issue for a lot of people.
Yeah, and the NBA as well, with their whole ties to China as well.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And
go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was going to say, of course, we saw that with the NBA recently. And then on top of that, you look at this and you think, okay, well, why? I mean, this is all about optics for
right.
them. And it reminded me a lot of the Black Lives Matter movement, actually. I know we were just talking about that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, a lot of companies came out in support of that, saying, oh, of course we don't support, like, black genocide. And it's like, well, do these companies actually believe that's what's happening? No, of course not. They're mm-hmm. out here trying to appease the left. They're trying to appease people so that they don't, you know, get canceled like every company does if you don't appease the left.
Mm-hmm. And then the question then becomes back to MLB and the boycott situation. Are conservatives going to actually take out their frustration with their wallets, with their money, and hold that back? So I don't know. We'll see what happens with that.
Right. I mean, we will see. I mean, like we've talked about before, it's, you know, if these are things that that conservatives are very much against, then they will have to take a stand mm-hmm. if that's something that they want to see change.
Yeah. All right. Anna Perez, great to see you.
Great to see you.
Well, great. And I like how you leaned into it. Great. All right. Thank gosh. Okay. So tomorrow on the show, let's see, who's on the show? Oh, guess who's on the show tomorrow? Not my mother. Tommy Lahren. On the show tomorrow. Love to have Tommy back. I've known her for a while, and you know, she's kind of an introvert, so we're going to try to get her out of her shell a little bit tomorrow. Not really. We'll see you all on the Water Cooler tomorrow, Tuesday. Another day, another dollar. See you tomorrow.